Welcome back to Are We Enlightened Yet? How are you doing, Sid?
I'm doing fine. Yeah, I feel like I always say I'm doing good, but yeah. I'm doing better today than I was this whole week. I feel like this week was a whole blur to me. I've been drinking so much coffee, too, which, yeah, I just get so anxious and jittery, and my mind is just, yeah, the coffee brain, you know, that
feeling. I don't get that, so I actually
really?
Don't know.
Okay, no. Well, I'm so sensitive when it comes to caffeine, and so lately, every morning, it's just been coffee, and then I get into, like, that heightened state where everything is just, like, fast-paced for me.
Oh, that's so, just my normal brain.
Yeah, okay. Like, so I'm not used to that.
My coffee brain is literally my brain.
Okay. So, yeah, no, I literally, that's, yeah, I'm not used to that. So when I drink coffee, it's, like, that times 10, and then it's great for when you're doing schoolwork because I can get everything done in, like, half the time, but as soon as I'm done my schoolwork, I'm like, okay, now what next? what do I do now? And it's like, yeah, it's just, that's where I've been. It's just anxiety heightened, and yeah. that's it. That's where I'm at, folks.
Anxious, thanks.
Just anxious.
Yeah. That's fair.
How are you?
Yeah, I love that because you know exactly how I've been. Because January has not fucked off yet.
Well, I guess when you guys will be hearing this will be February.
No, it should be the end of January, won't it be? You'll either hear it end of January, beginning of February. Yeah. We're not sure. But either way, I got in a car accident this week. I'm fine. My life feels like it's in shambles. It's just literally been like one thing after the other right now, and it's the three things I've hated the most. I absolutely hate getting sick. I can't handle it. I hate the dentist. And then car shit. Mm-hmm. And I just, like, this car thing just totally sent me off the deep end, which I think I, like, just want to explain to people, because I think we, like, do this thing where, like, let's, you know, talk about mental health and, like, end the stigma, but then nobody actually talks about what their mental health looks like. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's always just like, oh, I'm struggling, but nobody lets you know what that actually looks like to them. So then we have this, like, very stereotypical idea of what, like, anxiety looks like, what depression looks like, and it looks so different for everybody.
Yeah.
But, like, my brain this week got, like, if you have intrusive thoughts, I feel like you'll understand, is, like, it got hooked on this idea that somewhere down the line, in the past, I took collision off of my car. So then I had convinced myself for two straight days until I was able to actually talk to my insurance that I didn't have insurance on my car and that I was going to have to pay thousands of dollars of damage because there's likely almost 10 grand or more of damage on my vehicle. And, like, and I cried for other reasons too. We were talking about this, like, it was just this, like, purge of emotions. For, I'm not joking when I say I cried for almost 2 days straight. My eyes were raw and red, but I could not get the idea out of my head that, like, I didn't have collision on my car. I was going to have to get a second job. I was going to have to get a roommate. I was going to have to learn how to take the bus system because I'm from Okotoks and I've never had to take the bus. And, like, I, no matter what anybody said to me, I couldn't get it out of my head that this is what was, and I was like, I'm irresponsible. My life is over. I'm a failure. Like, it just, like, would not fucking
just kept
stop
running. Yeah,
and let you feel so crazy, but I know I'm not alone, and I'm telling you so that, like, people who also experience that, whether that's in anxiety or OCD or anything like that, like, you're not crazy. It's just your brain. That's just your brain and unfortunately how it operates, but, like, that's what anxiety can look like for people, right? Is, like, it's really intrusive thoughts, it's ruminating, it's messy, it's tears, it's, like, all of these things. And so that was my week, was just, like, sobbing.
Damn.
Uncontrollably.
So it's been a great week all around.
It's been a great week. Yeah. We're feeling better today. Today feels like I can actually handle the world. When I was, like, able to talk to my insurance company, I have insurance, shocking, like, as I've been paying for it, so it's great to know. My best friend's dad came and looked at my car and made sure that, like, it is safe for me to drive. Like, so many people showed up for me in so many amazing ways. It didn't matter at the time. I couldn't stop crying. But, like, we're having a better day today.
Good.
And if January could just leave me alone now,
yeah,
I get it. I think I've, like, taken my turn. Mm-hmm. Bathrooms happen in threes, so, like, I'm good.
Yeah.
Enough.
You've had enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny now. It was not funny yesterday at 11 p.m. at night. It's really not funny. But we're in better spirits about it today. And it's funny because you're like, everyone's like, shit happens. And I'm like, you're like, I know.
But this much shit?
This feels like a lot of shit. And it's just shit I don't want to deal with. Thanks. Like,
yeah.
I'm aware it happens.
Yeah.
Take your toxic positivity away from me.
Yeah.
No. Well, everyone was really good. Yeah.
You're on the up and up now.
Yeah, Mercury's at a retrograde soon, so hopefully.
Is it really already?
No. No. I'm trying to make myself feel better.
Like, that was a fast retrograde.
No, it's been, I'm like, just not even trying to give me hope.
Oh, okay. I didn't mean to squash that.
That's all I have right now, Sid. No, I think there's 2 more weeks.
Okay.
And then the shadow period. So.
Oh,
things are great. Thanks. But
all right,
we are gonna have a good episode today. We say that every time because we think we're great. But like, we realize that when you're listening to this, it is likely the end of January, beginning of February. Chances are we've all fallen off the bandwagon of those intentions, habits, resolutions we set for January. So we just want to, like, give you some tips on how to, like, get back in the groove, how to actually pick habits that stick, and really, like, what we think, you know, one of the biggest challenges is within this wellness and spiritual world on, like, on picking habits and how they approach it and stuff like that. Because, you know, we always start off the year so I know I didn't start off the year so positively, like, ready, we're like, this year's gonna be so different, and then you're 2 weeks in and everything's out the window. And there's a reason for that,
yeah,
which is, like, what we're gonna dive into today.
Fuck, I'm out of it, you guys.
Mercury.
That's fine though. It's, yeah, I'm gonna blame it on Mercury
always.
But yeah, no, I'm really excited about today's topic because I feel like I've been struggling in my own practice with the habits, and I think it's good to just have this discussion to show people that it's fine to struggle, but it's also, it's just completely normal and human to fall off that wagon and to fail at these certain things because, yeah, we do pick so many outrageous goals for ourselves, which is great. It's great to be big-minded like that. But I think the thing that we kind of set ourselves up for failure the most in is picking things that are like not even close to being feasible for us, and we set ourselves up for failure in that sense.
100%. And we pick, first things for me is, like, I had to throw the idea that there's even a bandwagon to get on and off. There's no bandwagon. It's just your life. Like, it's just your day-to-day life. But that is it. We pick such big, lofty goals, and then we pick really ridiculous timelines, right? And then you're legitimately just setting yourself up to fail, because you're going from 0 to 100. You're going from never doing it to suddenly needing to do it for a ridiculous amount of time every day for, like, however long, and you're like, this is the rest of my life, as if to think that, like, you're not going to have a day where you're not going to do it. And then you let that day that you don't do it derail you because you're like, well, I failed. When really it was like, no, just, like, show up again tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know?
I think it's because we set up so, we place so much expectations on ourselves and what the process should look like.
Yeah.
And we get attached to that. And so when it's not unfolding the way that we envisioned it, we label it as a failure. And then that makes us reluctant to try again or even, like, pick a new goal to set. Cause it's like, oh, what's the point?
Yeah. And we're told, like, too, like, it's consistency. But I think for so many of us, like, we think consistency means every single day for the rest of our lives, when really the number one thing is the commitment. are you committed to keep coming back to this practice no matter how much time has practiced in beneath? Mm-hmm. Or that was not a sentence. No,
how much time is in between?
Has passed in between.
There we go.
And then that consistency is not every day. It's that you're showing up as regularly as you can. And you're definitely going to have moments in time where it's not just a day you miss. It could be weeks or months. Or for some people here in Canada, if you're at a gym, it could be like almost a year. You know, like mm-hmm. Consistency looks different for everybody, but it's sold in a way that you think consistency means every single day you never fail at it. Mm-hmm. Or it's not even a failure. I don't believe in that. You never miss a day.
Yeah.
You're gonna miss a day.
Consistency isn't a one size fits all
thing.
No. Yeah.
And it's just building, it's just making choices every day that lead to a better version of you.
Mm.
Right? So I think that plays a big role too. And then like the wellness and spiritual world just like loves to sell us challenges. It's like 30 days of 30 minute meditation or no sugar for 21 days and like all these like you said, like it's not feasible. It might be feasible for that 21 days, but you've swung that pendulum so far one way that as soon as that 21 days is done or that 30 days or whatever, it almost guarantees that you're falling off the bandwagon. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, because you've picked a really unrealistic goal.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, you went from 0 to 100.
And I think with those challenges, people really take themselves out of their like comfort zones. Mm-hmm. And so their body is seeking safety. So as soon as you like leave that space, your body is like it makes sense that it's reverting back to its like baseline.
Yes.
You know, because it's like, that's where its safe space is. It's not doing yoga an hour every single day. Mm-hmm. Like that's not where your body feels at its most comfortable.
Well, yeah, and like life gets in the way, right? Like you when you set that like chunk of time, I'm gonna do it for 30 days and you don't let anything get in your way, that's amazing. That's not realistic for life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like not only are your body seeking that safety, you can put yourself in that uncomfortable space for a certain amount of time, but like it's not that doesn't necessarily mean that you're gonna feel safe after that 30 days. It's that your brain's like, I just have to get through this 30 days and then I'm gonna resort, like I'm gonna force you back to your comfort zone because like I don't like this.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then yeah, like what happens if you're really exhausted or you're up all night with your kids or you get sick or 700 bad things happen to you in 3 weeks. And like, you know, like it's, what happens then?
Mm-hmm.
It's unrealistic to be like, well, on that day that I'm exhausted or I'm not feeling well or I have a migraine or all of this, that I'm still going to practice my 1 hour of yoga.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm going to hit the gym or I'm not going to have sugar when I'm so used to comfort eating.
Mm-hmm.
That's not realistic.
Yeah.
Right? That's mindset sets you up to eventually fail, and then you're solidifying to yourself that you're a failure. You're making that belief even more concrete so that the next time you try, your body already knows you're gonna fail.
Yeah, because you're creating that evidence for yourself.
Yeah, yeah. The belief's there.
Yeah.
And you're every time you set up these unrealistic things, you solidify it over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And like I haven't actually like read the study, but like there, I probably shouldn't. I should probably stop there.
I read the abstract.
Yeah. Like, but you have to remember that your body changes on a cellular level when you change, and that can get uncomfortable. They talk about that a lot in fitness. Is that like you're changing on a cellular level, which is actually it's exhausting, right? So, you know, people, and it's uncomfortable, and you're seeking safety. And I think we think that we can override that need for safety. You cannot. Your body will always win. I always tell nutrition clients that, like, when they're like, I have no willpower left, it's not that. Your body will always beat your mindset.
Mm.
You can have an iron fist of a mind. Is that the saying?
I don't think that's a saying, but okay, we can make it a saying.
Sure. Where it's like, no, but like if your body is needing something that you are not giving it, it will find it.
Oh yeah. Actually, I have an example of that when that happened to me recently. And I think this is kind of like the catalyst of what caused me to get so sick this most recent time was I was so dedicated to my yoga practice, and I was even practicing like my handstands every single morning for like 2 weeks straight, and I wasn't allowing myself to rest, and I could feel like myself like changing on that cellular level, because it was like I was getting stronger and I could hold my handstands for like 2 seconds longer than
normal.
Thanks
for validating that study I didn't read.
there you go. And I was just pushing my body to the limits, and I've never been one to be so so consistent with my yoga practice. Like I'm consistent in that I'll do it like almost every day, but this, for those 2 weeks, I was going like hard every single day, which is something I'm not used to.
Yeah.
So I was like pushing it to its limits, and I was like on my hands until my wrists were sore, and then the one day it was like my body finally cracked. I like just got so sick, and like my body just shut down, because it was like, you need to stop this, because I was getting sore, but I was like working past the soreness. I was ignoring all the signs that my body was like telling me to slow down.
Yeah.
And it was like, yeah, and so I think the body was like trying to communicate like, yeah, this is we're leaving the safe zone, and we're entering into a territory that we're not used to. We need to go slow, we need to tread lightly here.
Time
but
to
I
calibrate.
Was like, but I was like, nope, like we're pushing through. And because of that iron fist of a mind that I have, it was like, no, we're doing this. But yeah, I think that's why I got so sick, was because I was ignoring my body so much.
Yeah.
And it was screaming at me like, slow the fuck down.
I was just gonna say, like, it all starts as a whisper.
Yeah.
And then it will become a scream.
Yeah.
Your body will stop you. And like, and then that's where that, like, we, you know, if you don't have self-compassion, you get so angry at yourself and your body because you think it's failing you. But like, what it's doing is it's like, it's trying to protect you.
It's
not ready.
Me. Yes.
Right.
Exactly.
Or it's like, you're going too hard, too fast. You're white knuckling it. You're not giving it the space to, alchemate and like let the changes settle into your bones.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You're just like forcing it. Next thing, next thing, next thing. And then we also don't ever slow down to celebrate those things.
Yeah.
Right. We don't even acknowledge what we just made our body do or what it was capable of. We're just like, on to the next.
Yeah. There's no time for like integration.
None.
Yeah. Yeah.
We don't even know what that word means. Like, we're just literally, and then you like look back and you're like, oh wow, that was really cool. And you barely even acknowledge it then. You're just like, cool, on to the next thing.
On to the next goal. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I think that's like, and again, I think that's just something that wellness, spiritual, all of those worlds, diet culture has just like ingrained in our brain, is just that we're constantly needing to change and fix ourselves. And like, what if you, I mean, I love goals, and one of my things this year was more consistency and getting back to setting like monthly challenges and stuff for myself, because like that actually brings me joy. But I had a thought and I lost it.
Mm. Right there. This Mercury.
This is not good. I really hope you guys are enjoying this.
Oh,
this is our first episode ever. Okay, well, why don't we like jump into, because I'm not getting this thought back.
This is an incredible segue.
Yes, this is, again, we're so good at the segues. I think this is a talent of ours. What's your most consistent habit, and how did you make it stick?
So for me,
it's not yoga.
Just kidding. It's definitely yoga and meditation. But yeah, it's probably been my most consistent habit in the past like 3 years, but it took me like probably 4 years to get to this space, because, I think I started yoga back in like 2015, maybe 2014. And, I remember like my first yoga class ever, and it was at Motion Fitness in Okotoks.
Oh, nice.
And I was like, this is really nice. And like, they had like lights on the ceiling, and some lady farted in the class and no one acknowledged it, and I was like trying so hard not to laugh, and I was like,
I would have burst out laughing. I would have had to leave.
But oh my god, I remember just like leaving that class feeling so like grounded. And like, I've always been one to like love working out. I loved like lifting weights and like doing like HIIT training and things like that and cardio. But yoga was, like, something that I actually got to connect with my body in that, like, strong way. But I left feeling like, calm and not so, like, revved up and, like, full of adrenaline, you know? Like, it was, like, I had that workout. I had that good sweat. I felt in my body, but I didn't feel like I was, like, this jumping around energy. Like, I just felt present, I guess. And so that kind of got me hooked, and I was like, okay, I want to do this more regularly. But then it wasn't really feasible to, like, at that time, start paying for, like, a gym membership or something, because I think it was, like, a free entry class or something. And so I was like, okay, like, I'm going to start my own home practice. And then I think I did, so I had a mat at that point, and then I started watching, I think it was, like, Yoga with Adrian videos. And I did one of her, like, 30-day challenges, and I was like, oh.
She's looking at me like I know who that is.
Okay, anyways, Yoga with Adrian. I feel like most people who do yoga regularly would know who she is. She's, like, the main yoga teachers on YouTube. Anyways.
Last time I did yoga was the last time you did a yoga class.
Okay. Anyways, I digress. Yoga with Adrian. And so I held the intention of starting my my home yoga practice for like months and months and months, and I would do like a yoga, I would do like a 30-day yoga challenge, and then I would like feel great, but then I'd fall off the bandwagon, and I wouldn't touch the mat for like weeks, sometimes months, and then I'd go on it again. Like, it was very, very sporadic, but I think the thing for me that helped it stick was just continually returning back to it regardless of the time that passed. And it was like reminding myself that how good I felt afterwards and how good like this practice was for me, not only on like a physical level but on a mental level. And I just felt like just so freaking good when I did it. And I don't know, and I think eventually like that time between each practice became shorter and shorter, and then eventually it just became like a lifestyle. And now it's like a non-negotiable. It's like every single morning I unroll my mat, and sometimes it's like a 20-minute stretch, sometimes it's a full hour-long practice, and sometimes I just sit on my mat and journal my thoughts and feelings. Like, that time on my mat, regardless if it's a physical practice or more of a mental one, that's time I dedicate to myself, and I've labeled it as important, so that's why it's easier for me now to dedicate that time each morning to that space, because I've cultivated that habit out of the intention of this is good for me. Like, I gain value from this practice.
Do you know, like, what the moment was where you realized that, like, this is no longer a habit, this is actually a lifestyle, right? Where, like, now it's, like, you don't think about it. You just do it. It's never, like, it's not really a thought anymore. Mm. It's just legitimately an everyday thing for you.
Probably in my third year of university is when I actually, I started getting excited for it every morning, because it was starting to feel less of like an obligation, less of like a, oh, I should be doing this. It started shifting more into, oh, I want to do this, because I actually started setting up my practice, and like my space, like in a more sacred way. I would light candles, I would light incense, I would dim the lights, and I would like make it like really special and like really, inviting for me to do it. And so once I started doing that and made it more like that sacred time for myself, I got excited to do it. And then it felt less daunting, and it didn't feel like it was like this big chore thing that I had to do every morning. It was like, oh, I get to do this every morning. And that's where the shift was.
Happened.
Yeah.
Is that so then too, like, because you took your yoga teacher training?
No.
Oh.
No.
I thought you did.
No.
Oh, she's very talented. Thanks. Oh, wow. I had no idea.
Yeah, no, I'm basically, I've all my yoga that I know from my knowledge is just from the videos I would do on Instagram, and then a few of my teachers that I would do, I would take their classes. The one of my like most notable and most influential yoga teachers is Lauren Hart in Lethbridge. She owns Heart Space Yoga Studios, and she's amazing. And she was like one of my first friends who had like a dedicated practice and who did her teacher training and who did like run her own studio. And she was like, she really inspired me, because she was like, she was everything that I loved. I don't know. And as a person and as a yoga teacher and just as like, I don't know, I just I really connected with her because she, her approach to yoga was just so authentic and real, mm-hmm. and it wasn't like all light and love and like all that like yoga bullshit.
Yeah.
And so I learned a lot from her just by being in her classes and being her friend. But yeah, a lot of it is just like, yeah, from those experiences and a little bit of self-taught from my own practice.
Oh, and I think too, when you find those people that inspire you, it also makes you want to show up.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. For yourself. Because like, I don't know how to like you, I don't want to say like you look up to them because that sounds bad, but it's like, you're inspired by
them.
They're
an expander for you.
Yes. Yeah. And yeah. you're just like, oh, like I want that. And that's so cool. And like that makes it easier to show up because you see somebody else doing it and you're like, that's badass and I want that.
Mm-hmm.
That I think also makes a really big difference when you're trying to make changes in your life is you have to find people who get you excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's really easy to, we're really bad for it actually, is picking goals because we hate ourselves. And sorry, the lights in my house.
What the
just,
heck?
So like this, sorry guys.
Is that normal? Has that happened before?
No, so, okay, so the lights just turned themselves on in my house. But I think there was a wire loose because one day they just stopped turning on and the light bulbs, and I thought the light bulbs were burnt out, and because I'm a responsible adult, I did nothing about it. But they're doing something upstairs, so I think that they must have knocked a wire.
Oh.
And so now they're back on.
That was a little creepy.
I know, but it's not a ghost.
Okay.
Cool. That's why I'm telling you. I'm like, no, that's...
It's a wire.
It's a wire. All right. I digress again. What a Mercury retrograde episode. As I was going to say, it's really easy to pick habits from self-hate.
Yeah.
And when you pick them from self-hate, you don't find people that inspire you, or they maybe do from a more toxic light because they're inspiring you to continue to hate yourself because you are trying to achieve something that is not actually achievable for you and is also probably a lie on their end, right?
Yeah.
There is people who are not actually being authentically themselves online that we love to follow and we realize and try to maintain what they're doing, but they're not even maintaining what they're doing. It's just a facade.
Yeah.
You know, but I think that when, like, you're trying to make a true lifestyle change, you have to find people that, like, really light you up.
Yeah, like, people you resonate with and who you almost, like, you see yourself in, and they're doing the thing that you want to do. So
yeah.
It's, like, serving to show you, like, oh, like, they're doing that, I can do that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that just really makes a difference.
Yeah.
Because when you don't have anyone doing it with you or being excited with you, it's also hard to stay excited. It starts to feel like a chore, and, like, yes, everything eventually in life at some point is going to feel like a chore, but there's got to be a little bit of excitement in there.
And we got to create that excitement for ourselves in any way that we can, even if it's the habits that we choose to implement. It's that's what fuels the process when they feel more like, oh, I get to do this. This is great.
Yeah, you got to surround yourself, even if it's digitally, with people who inspire you.
Yeah.
You know, who make you want to be better.
Mm-hmm.
You have to surround yourself. They say you're like the top five. You are who you surround yourself with, like the five, take a look at the five people you're around the most.
Yeah.
Make sure they're the shit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, be discerning.
Make sure they're people you actually like being around or inspire you or make you, sorry, I got the hiccups.
It's going great.
Yeah. We're really sorry because we're going to keep this episode, so I hope you're enjoying it. you just got to pick cool people that like make you feel
helps.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what is your most consistent habit and what did you do to make that habit stick?
It's funny because I'm going to say a habit that has been really inconsistent lately for multiple reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But my most consistent habit is the gym. Mm-hmm. It's the most like necessary for my mental health. It is just part of my life. Like when I have periods like right now where I can't make it to the gym, I don't sweat it. Because I know I'll get back. It's not that I've fallen off the bandwagon and I gotta get back into routine. I know I will get back into routine.
Yeah.
You know, I trust that. It's consistent. It's not even a second thought. It's just like, okay, what day is it? Okay, well, I can go to the gym at this time or I can go at this time. And like, that's just how much of a part of my life it is. You know, and with COVID and all of that kind of stuff over the last 2 years, it's been impossible to be consistent with a workout routine, right? Because gyms are opening and closing and open and closing, and you're vaccinated, you're unvaccinated, you're not allowed to go, you're like, mm-hmm. it's ridiculous. So then having to also figure out how to be consistent in a home practice, in a workout, right? Like, and so that also took me a really long time. Mm-hmm. I used to have to, I was lucky because I worked in a gym for 8 years. So, but even saying that, working there did not make it easy for me to show up at the gym to work out, mm-hmm. right? It was, but I liked being strong. Like, it wasn't, what started out as a habit out of self-hate, because I, like, you need to lose weight, you need to do all this type of stuff, like, mm-hmm. how many people start their gym journey.
For the aesthetics, yeah.
For the aesthetics. Then I realized, but the thing is, like, I also was, like, still am, obsessed with CrossFit. Mm. I just wanted to be, like, this sounds so stupid because CrossFit is so hard and I would never, like, do it again. Is, like, I was, like, I just want to be, like, a games athlete. Well, first of all, I don't actually like working that hard, so that was completely unrealistic, but I loved CrossFit, and I liked going to CrossFit and building the community, and I loved being surrounded by all of these badasses, because it wasn't about aesthetics, it was about being able to be strong and do really cool shit, which yeah. I loved, and that really helped my confidence as in my early 20s. So then, like, that eventually switched into, and the funny thing is, like, I showed up to CrossFit out of obligation, because it's such a community, and I had friends in the class time I would go to that if I didn't show up, they would ask me why, and which is funny because I've posted about it, but like, there were days where I would show up to the gym, but my anxiety to walk into the gym was so bad that I actually couldn't do it, right? But then people would text you and you'd be like, where are you? And all of this stuff. So like, for a long time, I just showed up of obligation because I felt like I couldn't disappoint other people not showing up. Yeah. But for me, it eventually switched into like me showing up because like I loved that I could do cool things and I loved that I could lift really heavy weight, and I just felt like so strong and so capable. And I think once I started seeing that, it stopped becoming something I had to do, and it was just part of my life. Oh, it's Tuesday, I need to go to the gym today. Oh, like, where can I figure out how to get to the gym? Because, like, it's so good for my mental health, too. Like, it just grounds me. It just, like, I don't want to take the saying because I love it so much, and I have it on, like, my phones, my water bottles, I have hoodies with it. My physiotherapist in Okotoks, Restorative Sports, their kind of slogan is, like, move your mood. And when I first heard that, I was like, that's it. Like, move your mood. That's why the gym's so important to me, is because it grounds me. And it's like moving meditation for me. I have a really hard time sitting still, physically and mentally. So the gym, it's like, that's when I feel like, interestingly enough, like the most connected to source, like the most connected to myself. Like, it's not sitting and trying to like quiet my thoughts and all of that. It's not. It's being in the gym. That's when I feel the most centered and in my body. And yeah, I would say it was a few years ago where I just like, it's just part of my life. And it's the last 2 years is the most inconsistent I've been, but also super consistent because I found ways to move. It just maybe wasn't hard workouts in the gym.
Yeah, I was gonna... I was gonna ask, what are you doing now to bring that consistency into your, like, life? Even, like, this past, like, throughout COVID, like, what have you been doing?
Right, so the first little bit, because, like, obviously, like, I worked in the gym, so every time the gym's closed, I also lost my job. Yeah. But... pre-workout it sounds terrible, but like I would get excited to take pre-workout so I could get my workout in, and I just did home workouts at weights. So I was actually really consistent for the first two shutdowns. It's been harder now knowing that like gyms are open, and then yeah, so home workouts were really big for me. And it sounds so bad, but I like pre-workout got me excited to work out. And it just it kept me consistent. Yeah. Even when I like hated the workout, because there's only so much you can do in a home workout, I would be excited to take pre-workout. And then also the Peloton app. I don't have a Peloton bike. The Peloton app is really good. So they have a lot of like outdoor running coaches, which are awesome. But when I first downloaded it, they had this coach. I think he got in a lot of trouble actually, and he got fired. This coach Oliver, and I just like loved doing his runs. He was so motivational that like the first time I did them, remember we're in COVID, it was like, I think it was April of 2020. Yeah, so like things were still super, what the fuck's happening? Mm-hmm. I remember going on this run, and just like what he was saying was resonating so much that I just like started crying by this like Peloton coach in my ear. And so, yeah, so, like, that helped me stay consistent is, like, the Peloton app, downloading free weeks of stuff. Like, anytime I saw a program that offered some free trials and stuff like that, I got on board with it. I was, like, tried to, like, keep it spicy while also trying to, you know, like, be consistent enough that I wasn't losing too much strength because it mattered to me. At the end of the day, like, I was all I had was movement. Mm-hmm. What else was there to do?
Yeah.
You know? But, like, yeah, the Peloton app was really good. Pre-workout, which I don't say, it's not for everyone. And then, like, yeah, just being willing to, like, play around, too, right? Like, have a day where it's, like, I'm just gonna, like, practice somersaults and, like, what are those? What's the other one called? It's a somersault.
Cartwheels?
Thank you. Mm. Yeah. And then, like, cartwheels and handstands and, like, all of that kind of stuff. Like, remember to keep it fun. Like, it's all supposed to be fun.
Yeah, I think, kind of, like, similar to mine, like, you made it so it was, like, there was something to be excited about, like, whether it's spicing it up with some cartwheels or having your pre-workout, like, whatever it was that, like, motivated you to do what you needed to do that you knew that made you feel good.
Yeah.
That's
what matters. And being, like, being around people, especially, like, when I was in the gym and stuff like that, that inspired me, where I was, like, one of my coworkers, she's brilliant when it comes to programming. Like, I love talking about the gym with her. Like, I love talking about the gym and fitness and programming and workouts and all of that kind of stuff. So, like, getting to interact and learn from her also made me excited to go to the gym to practice what we'd been talking about, right? Mm-hmm. Seeing if I could see the difference and stuff like that. So that made a difference, finding people that you resonate with or that, you know, like, you kind of want to, like, model yourself after. Or,
you have that community, it really, like, helps you to, like, stay in
Absolutely.
It. Yeah.
Because gyms are, like, I don't care what anybody says. I know everyone's, like, everyone's so welcoming at the gym. That's bullshit.
They're intimidating as hell.
I've worked in a gym for 8 years. It's bullshit that you want to tell me that gyms are welcoming. They're not.
Yeah.
Like, yes, everyone is welcome at the gym. Don't try to feed me that BS that, like, everyone's supportive there. That's horseshit. It really irritates me. I've worked in them. People are going to come after me. It's like, you have to remember, like, from the 22 to basically 29, no, 30, I worked in a gym. Mm-hmm. I know what they're like. So, don't.
Don't come at her.
Yeah. Not this January. What do you think you're, like, what habit are you trying to implement right now that, like, is just struggling to stick?
Oh, my God. So, the one habit I've actually been trying to start for the longest time is, like, cleaning my space regularly. Mm. Like, I'm, like, a very clean and organized person, but, like, I've been meaning to clean my bathroom for weeks now. And, like, I've, like, written in my journal, like, okay, I'm going to clean something in my bathroom, like, once a week. Like, I want to make that habit of cleaning something once a week. And I haven't started. There's so much resistance to cleaning for me. And it's, like, it seems like such a daunting task. But, like, I cleaned my toilet, like, a few days ago. Right. I gave the toilet a good scrub. And that's about it. And that took me, like, 5 minutes. I'm like, okay, Sid, like, see, like, that wasn't hard. But it's still, like, all the other things. Like, oh, I don't want to, like, scrub down my whole shower. I don't want to mop the floors, even though that will probably take 2 minutes max. Yeah, it's the starting that's the worst, and it's like, it doesn't feel important enough for me to actually start. And I think that's why I'm struggling. Because right. It's, like, it's not messy. Like, I've lived in bathrooms with roommates where the bathroom was much worse than it is now. So it's, like, I can deal.
Right. What is it, like, this. That made you want to pick that as a habit?
Because I love the feeling of a clean bathroom when everything is, like, scrubbed nice. Right. I love the feeling of, like, when, like, the sink is, like, pristine, there's no hair on the bathroom floor, the toilet is pristine. Like, I love the feeling of being in a clean bathroom. Right. But I hate cleaning it. That's the thing.
That's fair. What if you, like, were like, okay, when I finish brushing my teeth, I have to put, like, one thing away or wipe one thing down or, like,
yeah,
you know, just to be, like, habit stack it.
I know. You and your habit stacking. I know. I have to try that because I feel like, yeah, it's just the, if I, yeah, I don't know. I just gotta
you
do it.
You want it. You want it. You decided that you're interested in it. Yeah. But you just don't actually want it that bad.
Yeah.
You like it. You don't want it that bad.
Yeah. Like when my bathroom gets really dirty, then I'll clean it because it's yeah. like, this is too much.
Right. But that's what most of us do.
I know. But I want to like consistently to be at that right. pristine space because I love the feeling of that and I want to be in that, but I guess right now I don't love it enough to
do it.
Do the maintenance of
that's fair.
Keeping it like that. But
I think that's the thing though, is we get that in our head a lot that we like want these things,
mm-hmm.
but we're not actually willing to do what it takes to have it. Yeah. You're just like, that would be nice.
We want it, but we don't want to do the work to get the thing.
Yeah, yeah. And like, that's okay. Mm-hmm. You just have to admit to yourself that like, yeah, I want this, but I'm not willing to work for it right now.
Yeah.
And you might in the future, or you might never. It might just be something that you're just willing to live without.
Yeah.
That is fine.
Yeah.
You're not failing at creating habits because you decided you kind of are interested in something but not interested enough to actually do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. we so often set goals that are not even, we don't want them.
Yeah.
We want them because somebody told us to want them.
Yeah. And then we beat ourselves up over it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Totally.
But yeah, so. Anyways, I think I'll end up cleaning my bathroom one of these days, but it's not one of these days right now.
No, that's fair. And like, cleaning is not that fun.
I don't know, but when I do get in a good cleaning mood,
yeah,
I love it.
100%, but I just, like, don't want to be forced to do it.
Yeah.
You have to be in the mood.
You gotta be in the mood.
And then you just, like, it's top to bottom, you're like, that was amazing, why do I wait so long to do that?
I know, that's what I'm trying to, like, remind myself of. It's like, Sid, just start it. Start 5 minutes and do it, but it's like, mm-mm. And that's fine. That's fair. And that's fine.
Yeah.
I can deal with a semi-clean bathroom right
that's
now.
That's fair. So. We're making your bathroom sound filthy, and I feel like it's not.
It's really not. It's honestly, it's probably cleaner than most people's bathrooms. Yes. My standards are...
High.
High, high, high.
Yes. Mine is like...
Let's hear yours.
It's funny because one of my words for the year is consistency, and I've been anything but consistent with anything this January. I don't even know up from down right now. So, I have not tried to start any habits right now because I don't know what's happening in life. That's not a joke. I don't know. right now I'm trying to get back into being consistent in a fitness routine, but I have been consistently inconsistent, which is fine because I know eventually I will get back to it.
Yeah.
I was gonna do these like green juice Vitamix juices. And I'm not. I've had no consistency on anything, but even just like nothing in my life has been consistent this last like 3 weeks. Which sounds like a really short period of time, but it's been a lot.
I feel it, yeah.
And so then unfortunately, like, right now, I think for me, like, the one habit that I always try to make stick and it just never, ever, ever does, even though I know it feels good and I just have a lot of resistance to it, is meditating.
Mm.
I know it's good and I know that my brain loves it because it doesn't stop. So it loves sitting in that silence and that space. But I have so much resistance to meditating. If you've heard me joke over many episodes at this point, I just hate it. So, like, that's a routine that I really want. And I'm way more consistent in it now than I ever was.
Yeah.
Over the last, like, 6 months. But by no means would I call it consistent.
Have you been doing it over these past 3 weeks? at all?
I've been trying. Yeah. Like, I definitely have been, like, just, like, 5 minutes of silence. Just, like, sit, 5 minutes of silence, or, like, turning on, like, healing frequencies and, like, mm-hmm. trying to sit. And or a couple, like, I probably do it, like, a few times a week, maybe, but never really more than 10 minutes, but I would not call it a consistent practice, but I know it's good for me.
Yeah. Do you prefer, like, guided meditations or unguided?
Just I don't sitting prefer any yourself? Of
it. I know, but like, if you could choose, would you prefer someone, like, guiding you through the process or just sitting in silence?
I think I just prefer to sit in silence because my brain goes all the time.
Yeah.
So it's a chance for me to, like, to actually just, it's almost like a chance for me to witness my thoughts and let them run wild without creating a commentary.
Mm.
So instead of even trying to, like, stop thinking, I just let myself think and let myself brain kind of run wild. Instead of trying to control the thoughts, which is what I try to do all day long, is I try to control the commentary. So it's like this constant running of my mind.
Mm-hmm.
So almost like when I just sit with myself, I just let my mind run. And then sometimes it'll settle down and go silent. And sometimes it won't. But it's like, I don't feel so... like crazy brain after. I feel grounded after.
Like you gave yourself that space to have those thoughts and they don't not like later on like I know in my practice, like if I don't take the time to give myself that space at nighttime, because that's the first time during the day we're in that silence.
Yeah.
That's like when our like mind runs rampant, because it's like, oh, here's finally a chance that we get to think all these thoughts.
Right.
So it's like, that's when we have like insomnia and like when we can't stop thinking because we didn't give ourselves the space.
Right.
Anytime during the day to let them be heard or be acknowledged. And so it's like, yeah, like you said, like it's beneficial when it's like, when they have that space, sometimes they'll go quiet, sometimes not, but it's like, it's such a beneficial practice.
It is. And I think like, and that's the thing is like, I think, and I know that.
Yeah.
I just have so much resistance to it. And it's not because I joke about hating it. It's, I joke about hating it because I have so much resistance to it.
Yeah.
That I have to be self-deprecating about it. So, and I know power of language, but whatever. I'll get there. Yeah. One day, the thing is I know just like with every habit that is eventually becomes a lifestyle, I will get there when I am meant to get there.
Yeah.
I don't believe in forcing it, right? I show up, maybe not super consistently, but it's important enough that I keep eventually going back to it.
Mm-hmm.
That is all I have to give it right now.
Yeah. You just have to like surrender to the process a little bit and trust that, okay, if this is something that's actually going to, be like an important aspect in my life and it's valuable to me, I'll eventually find a way to make it work and it'll be a little bit more organic in the way that happens.
And if it's something you want too, but there's a lot of resistance, get curious about the resistance.
Yeah.
Right? Find out why you're resisting something, because the answer might be that you actually don't want it. For me, I know with meditation, it's that I actually don't, my nervous system doesn't feel a ton of safety in stillness. Right? Like, I haven't got to that place where stillness feels comfortable for me. So I know that's why there's resistance in meditation. But sometimes the resistance is actually just that you don't want it. But if you don't get curious about it and you just beat yourself up about it, you're never going to know. You're going to keep trying to do things that you actually don't want because you don't know yourself enough to know what you do want.
It's actually a really great starting point, is just the curiosity of like, okay, why am I resisting this so much?
Yeah. And like, I think you can use it for any habit, even if it was like dieting, and when you're just like, can't stay on the bandwagon, why? Where's your resistance? Is it that you're not willing to actually give up all the things you keep trying to force yourself to give up? You know, you're not willing to not have birthday cake with your kids or miss out on a Friday night dinner with your friends or whatever. There's no shame in not being able, not wanting to give those things up. It just means you have to get more realistic about what you're trying to accomplish. Yeah. Lengthen the timeline.
Yeah.
Or realize that it's okay to not want things if the only reason you're doing it is because you've been taught that it's something that you should do or it's something you should want.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a big believer, and I'm sure you are too, everybody should have a movement practice. Movement is incredibly important. But there is so many different modalities for movement. It does not have to be yoga. It does not have to be the gym.
It can be a walk in the park.
It can be a walk in the park. It can be dancing in your kitchen. It can be Zumba. It can be Tai Chi. Is that what it's called?
It's Tai Chi, yeah.
Yeah, like you said, walking. There is so many things that you can do as a movement practice. It doesn't have to be the trendy things right now, right? Yoga is trendy. Yoga, I already said that. The gym is trendy. Like, Orange Theory is trendy. Peloton bikes are trendy.
Yeah.
Just because, like, that's what everyone else is doing. If you fucking hate it, like, you only get one life. Do something you like.
Yeah. Do something that actually lights you up.
Yeah. And then you'll keep showing up to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that's the biggest thing.
Yeah. Like, for me with yoga, yoga actually lights me up. Mm-hmm. Yoga makes me excited. I get stoked when I get to hop on the mat.
Right.
Right? That's not everyone's cup of tea. So find the thing that brings you joy, that makes you feel connected to your body, that makes you feel whole.
Right.
And commit to that, even if it's once every few months. Like, just commit to returning to that practice if it makes you feel genuinely good.
Yeah. Or even if that's, like, journaling, meditation, reading 10 pages of a book, like, drinking more water, whatever it is. If you're going to commit to yourself, make the commitment that you're going to keep showing up. That even when you don't show up for a couple days or a couple weeks or a couple months, you keep returning to the practice. You keep returning to the idea. And I think one of the biggest things that we haven't touched on too is make it fucking small.
Mm-hmm.
Your new habit has to be so small it feels stupid. Because you have to realize that you actually are trying to change your life. And usually we go from 0 to 100. You need to go from 0 to 1.
Yeah.
Because then you go from 1 to 2. And then 2 to 3. You know what I mean? Like, integrate something really small.
Yeah.
And then wait a couple weeks, couple months. Add something on top of that. Lengthen the time. Like, we just start so big that we just literally start ourselves out failing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you think your biggest, like, tip is?
My biggest tip is intention. Like, be intentional with the habits or the goals that you set for yourself, because the intention is what's going to fuel you when you don't have that raw willpower anymore. Because we have such a limited reserve of that raw willpower. And so it's like, if we try to do all of these things based off of just like, okay, I'm going to do this, and based off all of just our pure energy reserves, we're going to get burnt out and we're going to get tired, and there's going to be nothing else to fuel that. But if we know the intention, if we know why we're doing it, why this thing is important, why we are labeling it as valuable, then it's going to make it easier for us to prioritize that thing and to do it. It's going to put some fuel to the fire.
100%. Your why, right? Yeah. Like, find your why and make it a real why. Yeah. It goes back to me, like, where you're saying intention, which I think lines up with the fact that make it something you actually want.
Mm-hmm.
We're constantly being sold to all the time, to the point that we don't even realize what we're being sold. That, like, when we're picking things and not following through, it's so often because we actually don't care, right? It's not in alignment with us, with our higher self, right? So, like, make sure you actually want it, and then get intentional about it, right? If you want to make changes to your life, you have to go deeper than just setting the goal, saying, like, I'm gonna do this, and letting that be it. You know, you have to find the resistance.
Yeah.
Find the intention.
There's no sustainability in just surface level shit.
No. Yeah. But that's what we're taught, right? Yeah. We're taught to, like, and so much of what we're taught to want is taught out of, like, low self-worth.
Yeah.
And, like, hating ourselves and our lives and all. It comes from a really negative space, and nothing is sustainable in that negativity. Right? You have to make those changes from a place of high self-worth. Like, what's it actually going to change in your life if you achieve this? You have to know the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
Or how you want to feel, at least. Or else it's not going to matter.
Yeah, exactly. Well said. I don't have anything else to add.
No.
Just because my brain is fried at this point.
It's all good. That was a wild ride, everyone. If you are still with us, bless you. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
We appreciate that type of support. You know, the drill. Like, subscribe, share with your friends, leave only 5-star reviews. regardless of what Sid says. Thank you so much for being here with us.
Thanks, guys.
And we'll see you on the next episode. Or talk to you, whatever.
Bye. See you next time.